Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Fred Woodward for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from The Week magazine. Today we are in our second reading from the December 30th, 2022, January 6th, 2023 issue of The Week. As I mentioned in the last show, this is the end of year issue titled The Faces of 2022. Last week we read some of the current news stuff. This week we'll get into more of the year in review articles. And one other note, the program that we record this week will run for 2 weeks. The week staff has taken a week off. And it'll be a couple of weeks before we have a new issue. So before we go to the year in review article in particular, there's one other sort of seasonal article on the briefing that we'll start with. It's called The Sounds of the Season. How did music come to be such a big part of Christmas? And why do we keep hearing the same songs? How old is Christmas music? It arguably predates the holiday itself. In Europe, pagans created the tradition of singing songs to brighten up the winter solstice, which was widely adopted by early Christian evangelists, especially after AD 1000. During the Protestant Reformation, the Puritans considered carol singing unbiblical and suspiciously cheerful. And at least one Calvinist minister deemed it as grievous a sin as fornication. Still, the tradition continued, albeit somewhat times in secret. Public door-to-door caroling gained popularity during the 1800s, and several of the most enduring carols, including Silent Night, Joy to the World, and Jingle Bells, date from that period. Today, Christmas music is a huge business. Of the 125 artists on Billboard's Greatest of All Time list in 2019, nearly half, including chart-topping singers such as Elton John, Stevie Wonder, and Taylor Swift, have released at least one Christmas album, and more than 80% have recorded at least one holiday song. In the U.S. alone, seasonal tunes fueled a $177 million industry in 2018. The appetite for Christmas music keeps growing every year, said veteran radio industry consultant Dan Valley. How has Christmas music changed? Over the past 200 years, it has become much more secular and lucrative. After the invention of recorded sound and radio, Hollywood, Tin Pan Alley, and Madison Avenue all rushed to capitalize on the warm feelings consumers associated with the holiday. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, for example, began life as a 1939 book written to promote the Montgomery Ward department store chain. Some of the biggest Christmas classics emerged during World War II and its aftermath, when soldiers and civilians alike were starved for comfort. One-third of the 30 most performed holiday songs of all time were written in the 1940s, according to the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers. The most popular was, and still is, White Christmas, written by Irving Berlin for the 1942 movie Holiday Inn and sung in a velvet baritone by Bing Crosby. His nephew later recalled Bing singing it in a USO concert in France to 100,000 GIs in tears, many of whom would be killed in the Battle of the Bulge a few days later. Another Crosby hit, 1943's I'll Be Home for Christmas, became the song most requested by soldiers at USO shows. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. It's been covered by hundreds of artists, including Frank Sinatra, Donna Summer, and James Taylor. Why is this music so popular? The holiday season instills in many people a powerful sense of nostalgia, and they look to familiar tunes to provide warm memories. Between 2011 and 2019, two-thirds of the top 20 songs on Billboard's Holiday 100, a season-specific version of its weekly sales charts, were written before 1980. That's one reason the music industry encourages artists to make covers of old chestnuts. Silent Night and White Christmas each have more than 20,000 different tracks on Spotify, and there are more than 10,000 each for other standards such as Jingle Bells, Winter Wonderland, and Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Occasionally, though, a new song manages to break into the canon. What does it take? There is no magic formula, but researchers and music industry executives have noticed a few common characteristics. One is accessibility. A Berklee College of Music analysis of chart-topping songs on Spotify on Christmas week of 2016 found that 95% were written in a major key and 90% used a basic 4/4 time signature. The range of pitches was usually narrow enough to allow listeners to sing along, and lyrics tended to be simple, focusing on themes such as love, home, snow, parties, and Santa. Using sleigh bells as an accent, as nearly half the songs did, also helped make the Christmas connection explicit. No song from the past 30 years has mastered that formula more resoundingly than Mariah Carey's "All I Want for Christmas Is You." How is that determined? By number of plays, for one. The 1994 song, co-written by Carey and Walter Afanasieff, dominates radio playlists every Christmas and has been streamed more than 1.2 billion times on Spotify alone. Singable, up-tempo, and with musical themes borrowed from pop classics, it has earned Carey more than $60 million and a perch atop the Billboard charts for the fourth winter in a row. Based on that dominance, Carey tried this year to trademark the term Queen of Christmas, but her request was denied. Still, it took 25 years for All I Want for Christmas Is You to reach the top spot, and it may take at least as long for another holiday song to make such an impact. I think it is one of the most difficult pantheons to enter, said songwriter Charlie Harding. But if you do, you're going to buy your great great, great, great grandkids' house, so I bet people will keep on trying. An overdose of Jingle Bells. You are not imagining it. Radio stations are starting to play holiday tunes well before Thanksgiving, and a growing number play them exclusively. More than 500 terrestrial stations have switched to an all-Christmas format so far this season, and satellite provider iHeartRadio now has more than 80 all-Christmas stations. For some, however, the constant loop of Crosby, Carey, and Michael Bublé in public spaces soon wears out its welcome. Then there are polarizing novelty songs such as Santa Baby, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, and I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, which people surveyed in a YouGov poll last year named the three Christmas tunes they hated the most. Even an entry as popular as All I Want for Christmas Is You starts to grate after the 10,000th listening. I don't mind hearing it constantly for the first 8 or 9 years, Mitch Albom wrote in the Detroit Free Press, but now wherever there is a set of speakers, Mariah is blaring out of them, "Dear God in heaven, just make it stop." And it's time for the year in review. This is a two-page spread that goes month by month. So, settle in. January. The new year begins with Europe on the brink of its largest conflict since World War II and American political division stirring fears of another civil war. On the anniversary of the January 6th Capitol attack, President Biden excoriates Republicans for clinging to the big lie that the 2020 election was stolen, accusing former President Donald Trump of holding a dagger to the throat of our democracy. A defiant Trump says the real insurrection took place on Election Day 2020. Biden reverses his stance on filibuster reform, saying a simple Senate majority should be able to pass sweeping voting rights protections. But centrist Democratic Senators Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona and Joe Manchin of West Virginia join Republicans in blocking any changes to the filibuster. The highly infectious Omicron variant rampages around the world, and in the U.S., where new COVID cases reach 1 million a day and deaths surpass 2,000 a day, Biden has dealt a major setback when the Supreme Court's six conservative justices block his COVID vaccine mandate for large employers, which would have covered 84 million workers. February. With 130,000 Russian troops massed on Ukraine's borders, Russia demands that NATO promise never to admit Ukraine as a member and accuses Washington of installing pure Nazis to lead Ukraine, despite Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, being Jewish. American WNBA star Brittany Griner is jailed in Moscow for possessing trace amounts of cannabis oil. The Winter Olympics in Beijing hardly provides the unifying uplift the world so desperately needs. Instead, few spectators can attend because of China's extreme zero COVID policy, and government officials from the U.S., U.K., and several other countries boycott in protest of China's human rights abuses. As the Omicron wave fades in the U.S., many states lift mask mandates. In a belligerent speech, Russian President Vladimir Putin says Ukraine was created by Russia, but has become a colony of the West, calling an invasion retaliatory. Russian troops, helicopters, and armored vehicles cross the border, hoping to seize Kyiv in 3 days. Zelensky declines a U.S. evacuation offer. I don't need a ride, he says. I need ammunition. March. The U.S. delivers ammunition in the form of Javelin anti-tank missiles, Stinger anti-aircraft missiles, and other game-changing weaponry, and Ukraine shocks Russia with its ferocious resistance. Russia loses an estimated 40,000 troops while sowing destruction, forcing 3.5 million Ukrainians to flee. The U.S. and European allies impose unprecedented sanctions, including isolating Russian banks. Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis strengthens his reputation for anti-woke policymaking by signing what critics call the Don't Say Gay Law, which restricts what elementary schools can teach about sexual orientation and gender identity. Will Smith mars his Best Actor win at the Academy Awards by slapping presenter Chris Rock for mocking the hair loss of Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. April. Russian forces retreat from the Kyiv suburb Bukha, leaving mass graves dug for 270 residents. Survivors tell of Russian troops raping, torturing, and executing men, women, and children. In southern port city Mariupol, weeks of indiscriminate Russian bombardment killed tens of thousands of citizens. The U.S. pledges to send more arms until Russia is defeated. Putin declares peace negotiations dead and announces a major assault on the Donbas region of eastern Ukraine. French President Emmanuel Macron, an emerging leader in Europe, wins a second term, defeating far-right challenger Marine Le Pen. The Senate votes 53-47 to confirm Biden's choice of Ketanji Brown Jackson, 51, to replace retiring liberal justice Stephen Breyer and become the Supreme Court's first black woman. A Trump-appointed federal judge invalidates the Centers for Disease Control's mask mandate for planes, trains, and other mass transit, ruling that blocking transmission of the virus is not sanitation under the law. May. In what Chief Justice John Roberts calls an unprecedented betrayal, a draft majority opinion leaks, revealing conservatives' intention to overturn Roe v. Wade. The House approves a massive new military and humanitarian aid package for Ukraine, bringing U.S. spending on the war to $53 billion. As a new Omicron subvariant, BA5, sends COVID cases soaring, the U.S. death toll passes 1 million. America's epidemic of gun violence also takes a gruesome toll as a white supremacist gunman targets black supermarket shoppers in Buffalo, killing 10 people. Another young man wielding an AR-15 style rifle storms an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, slaughtering 19 students and two teachers. Hundreds of responding law enforcement officers wait nearly an hour to confront the shooter, even as gunshots continue to ring out from the classroom. June. Desperate parents scour shelves for baby formula amid a national shortage, and a gallon of gas tops $5. A man with a pistol in his bag is arrested outside Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home after admitting he intended to kill the conservative justice for his abortion stance. In the wake of Uvalde, 14 Senate Republicans joined Democrats to pass the first major federal gun reform in nearly three decades, expanding background checks for gun buyers under 21, incentivizing states' red flag laws, and allocating $1.3 billion for mental health and security initiatives at schools. In explosive televised hearings, the House January 6 panel details Trump's efforts to stoke the insurrection and his refusal to heed pleas to intervene for 187 minutes while the Capitol was under siege. Video shows mobs chanting, "Hang Mike Pence," coming within 40 feet of Trump's fleeing vice president. The Supreme Court votes 6-3 to overturn Roe, which the majority calls egregiously wrong from the start. Without a constitutional protection for abortion for the first time in nearly 50 years, 26 states move to ban or severely restrict women from terminating a pregnancy. July. The impact of climate change is unmistakable. As historic heat kills thousands in Europe, causes a brutal drought in China, dries up rivers worldwide, and shatters nearly 6,000 U.S. temperature records, biblical rainstorms inundate St. Louis, Illinois, and eastern Kentucky, with 43 people killed in floods. A rooftop sniper targets a beloved 4th of July parade in Highland Park, Illinois, killing 7 people and injuring 40 more. Critics accuse Biden of groveling for oil in the Middle East as the president fist bumps Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The Saudis later refused to boost oil production anyway. Manchin again foils Biden's domestic agenda by opposing the president's $2 trillion social spending bill called Build Back Better. Britain's Boris Johnson resigns as prime minister after numerous scandals prompt mass resignations from his government. The realities of post-Roe America set in as the news emerges that a 10-year-old Ohio girl impregnated by a rapist was forced to travel to Indiana for an abortion. August. In the first referendum on abortion since Roe fell, Kansas voters opt by a landslide 59-41% margin to maintain a right to abortion. To everyone's surprise, Manchin decides to back a pared-down version of Biden's spending bill, which lowers health care costs and includes the largest ever allocation of funds for climate initiatives. Biden also signs an executive order forgiving from $10,000 to $20,000 in federal student debt, affecting 45 million Americans. Republicans accuse Biden of election year pandering to young voters and launch legal challenges that eventually halt the program. Texas Governor Greg Abbott buses thousands of migrants to Washington, D.C. and New York City to draw attention to record-breaking border crossings. The FBI raids Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida, seizing more than 13,000 government documents, some highly classified, that Trump allegedly refused to turn over in defiance of federal law. A Trump supporter dies attempting to shoot his way into an FBI field office in Cincinnati. Calling House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's recent visit to Taiwan malicious and provocative, China menaces the island with days of military exercises, including a simulated blockade. September. After feinting a counteroffensive in the south, Ukraine tricks Russia by attacking in the Donbas in the northeast, and its forces regain 3,000 square miles of territory. Reeling from this shocking momentum shift, Putin calls up 300,000 Russian reservists, many of whom attempt to flee, and announces sham referenda to make four occupied regions in Ukraine's east and south Russian territory. Putin raises fears of a nuclear strike by warning that attacks on Russian soil would cause Moscow to deploy all the means at our disposal, and this is not a bluff. Queen Elizabeth II dies at 96, ending the longest reign in Britain's history. As the country mourns, King Charles III becomes, at 73, the oldest person ever to assume the throne, vowing to emulate his mother's selfless service. Pakistan is devastated by catastrophic floods, and Italy's neo-fascist party wins a majority in parliament. As a political stunt, DeSantis' emissaries trick nearly 50 Venezuelan migrants onto boarding a charter plane in Texas and drop them in Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, at the cost of $615,000. October. Hurricane Ian flattens part of Florida's west coast. A Category 4 storm when it makes landfall, Ian kills more than 150 people and causes an estimated $75 billion in damage. In the UK, Johnson's replacement, Liz Truss, also resigns just 45 days into a calamitous tenure in which her unfunded tax cuts tanked the British pound. A third conservative, Rishi Sunak, takes office, becoming Britain's first non-white prime minister. In China, President Xi Jinping secures an unprecedented third term atop the Communist Party, becoming the most dominant Chinese ruler since Mao Zedong. Democracy prevails in Brazil, where far-right President Jair Bolsonaro loses to left-wing Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, a former president previously imprisoned on corruption charges. Tesla CEO Elon Musk buys Twitter for $44 billion, installs himself as CEO, and dismantles the social media platform's safeguards against disinformation and hate speech. Musk tweets a false conspiracy theory after a right-wing lunatic shouting, "Where's Nancy?" breaks into House Speaker Pelosi's San Francisco home and fractures the skull of her 82-year-old husband, Paul, with a hammer. November. The widely anticipated GOP red wave fails to materialize despite persistent inflation, anxiety over crime, and Biden's low approval ratings. Republicans achieve a razor-thin 9-seat majority in the House, but Democrats hold the Senate after Trump-endorsed election deniers flop. Reeling from yet another election embarrassment, Trump announces a 2024 presidential bid, saying the country is being destroyed. Days later, Attorney General Merrick Garland names Special Prosecutor Jack Smith to oversee federal criminal investigations of Trump over the Capitol attack and the withheld documents. Russia's retreat continues, this time from the regional capital of Kherson. The horrific lethality of the AR-15 is unleashed yet again, as a man kills 5 people and injures 25 more in less than a minute at a gay nightclub in Colorado Springs. The world's population reaches 8 billion. December. Many of China's 1.4 billion people become fed up with the oppressive zero COVID rules, and remarkable demonstrations not seen since Tiananmen Square lead the government to ease restrictions. In New York, Trump's company is convicted of 17 counts of tax fraud. Georgia Democrat Raphael Warnock wins a tight runoff election, giving Democrats a 51-49 Senate majority. Biden secures Brittany Griner's return to the U.S. in a controversial swap with Russia for a notorious arms dealer. As cold weather arrives, the U.S. is hit with a triple-demic of rising COVID cases, an outbreak of RSV among children, and a severe flu season. Russian missile and drone attacks leave Ukraine cities largely without power and heat as winter arrives. But shivering Ukrainians remain defiant. The Biden administration agrees to send Patriot missile defense systems and additional military and economic aid. DeSantis announces he wants Pfizer and Moderna investigated for their COVID vaccines, which a study says saved 3 million lives in the U.S. On the cusp of 2023, many Republicans turn against Trump, but America's sharp political division shows no sign of abating. And there you have the year in review, 2022. For the review of health and science articles, they break it into 3 subcategories. I always enjoy this. Some of the things they said were good for us, some of the things they told us we were told to avoid, and the big scientific breakthroughs of 2022. So we'll do some of each. So some of the things they said were good for us. Therapy dogs can make injured people in the emergency room feel better. Researchers asked more than 200 ER patients to record their pain levels, then gave about half the people a 10-minute encounter with a trained pooch. Afterward, the group reported less pain, as well as less anxiety and depression. Therapy dogs are just really friendly family pets that are so excited to visit with people and in places where you don't typically have a pet, says co-author Colleen Dell. And just going into the emergency department was a natural. Eating early may help you lose weight. Researchers got 16 people to try 2 different regimens, eating their first meal an hour after they woke up and waiting for about 5 hours. The delayed eaters had lower levels of leptin, a hormone that helps you feel full, and were more likely to feel hungry and crave unhealthy foods. A second study found that those who ate within a 10-hour window, typically between 8 or 9 a.m. and 6 or 7 p.m., showed several signs of improved health. Your internal biological clock makes you better at doing different things at different times of the day, says nutrition professor Courtney Peterson. A rural childhood gives people a better sense of direction. Data from more than 400,000 players of Sea Hero Quest, a game designed by scientists to test navigation skills, found a clear divide. Those who grew up in the country had an edge in navigating, no matter their age, gender, or education. What's more, urbanites from countries where cities have meandering streets, such as Spain, were better than those from countries with more predictable urban design. The findings could help create a test for Alzheimer's, as getting lost can be an early sign of the disease. The environment we're exposed to, said author Hugo Spears, has a knock-on effect into the 70s on cognition. A sense of wonder can improve your enjoyment of life. In a series of studies, researchers found that people who had a strong appreciation for moments of beauty were more likely to feel that their existence was meaningful. Even just watching a video of Earth's most glorious natural features boosted people's sense of purpose. Co-authors Joshua Hicks and Frank Martella say the findings show we should slow down, let life surprise us, and embrace the significance in the everyday. A couple other things. They said magic mushrooms can help heavy drinkers cut back on booze. Hearing aids may cut your risk of developing dementia. And fecal transplants may reduce the effects of aging. And some of the things we were told to avoid. Salt on your food could shorten your life. Researchers looked at data from the UK Biobank study, which followed 500,000 Britons for an average of 9 years. They found that always adding extra salt to cooked food was linked to a reduction in life expectancy of more than 2 years for men and 18 months for women. Overall, compared with those who never or rarely reached for the shaker, those who always added salt had a 28% increased risk of premature death. Even a modest reduction in sodium intake, said lead researcher Liu Qi, is likely to result in substantial health benefits. Modern weed is more addictive and dangerous than pot from the old days. The potency of marijuana has been rising since the 1970s, with levels of THC, the chemical responsible for the drug's psychoactive effects, increasing by an average of 0.29% a year. A meta-analysis of data from 20 studies involving nearly 120,000 cannabis users found that those who had been using products with higher levels of THC were much more likely to have experienced psychosis and to have become addicted than those using the weaker stuff. Lead author Kat Petrilli says exposure to high-potency marijuana may increase the likelihood of long-term changes, such as to cannabinoid receptors in the brain. Doggy kisses may harbor an antibiotic-resistant strain of E. coli. Analysis of human and animal fecal samples from 86 homes in Europe found that 16% of the dog dew contained the superbug, the highest proportion found among all household pets. The bacteria also showed up in 13% of human samples, but was found in just 5% of feline ones. Because dogs use their tongues to lick their rear ends as well as their owners, they may be helping to spread the bacteria. You think your animal licking you is a sign of love, said infectious disease expert Mark Siegel, professor at NYU Langone Medical Center, but it may not be doing you any favors. Watching TV can be bad for your heart. A study involving 373,000 British people found that those who watched 4 or more hours of TV a day had a 16% greater risk of developing coronary heart disease than those watching an hour or less. These findings proved only correlation, not causation, but previous research has linked TV watching to high levels of cholesterol and glucose. Unfavorable levels of these cardiometabolic risk markers may then lead to increased risk of developing coronary heart disease. No risk was found for leisure time computer use. Some other things we were told to avoid. Vaping may increase your risk for developing diabetes. Pain meds might just prolong the agony. And running marathons may increase the risk of heart attacks and strokes, at least for men. And now some of the big scientific breakthroughs of 2022. Nuclear fusion. Scientists recreated the energy source of the sun by generating a fusion reaction that produced more energy than it used. The Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory used the world's largest laser made up of 192 beams to blast a peppercorn-sized pellet of hydrogen isotopes encased in a diamond. In a brief, brilliant flash, the deuterium and tritium atoms achieved fusion, generating about 1.5 times more energy than had been used to heat the pellet. The technology is still decades away from commercial viability, but the experiment was a huge leap forward. "It looks like science fiction," said physicist Ambrogio Fasoli, "but they did it." Overcoming paralysis. Doctors enabled three paralyzed men to walk again by implanting electrodes in their spines. When nerves are damaged in the spinal cord, signals from the brain can't get through to the muscles in the legs. The electrode helps boost the signals, which in turn activate the leg muscles. Within hours of having the implant fitted, all three patients could stand, walk, and pedal. The technology is not a cure, but it is huge progress toward improving paralyzed people's lives. "The first few steps were incredible," said Michael Riccati, whose spinal cord was severed in a motorcycle accident. "A dream come true." James Webb Telescope. NASA's long-awaited James Webb Space Telescope has produced a series of crystal-clear images of the cosmos. The $10 billion space observatory is the most powerful ever built, more than 100 times more sensitive to light than its predecessor, the Hubble. It was created through the combined efforts of about 20,000 engineers, astronomers, technicians, and government officials from the U.S., Canada, and Europe over 30 years. Orbiting the sun at a point about 1 million miles from Earth, the telescope has already produced extraordinarily detailed images of Jupiter. It's now allowing us to look at galaxies as they were not long after the formation of the universe in the Big Bang, 13.8 billion years ago, and scrutinize planets around other stars for signs of life. "We're in for a great adventure," says astronomer Alan Dressler. The full human genome. When scientists said two decades ago they mapped the human genome, limitations of technology meant they'd actually sequenced just 92%. This year, they finished the final crucial 8%. The full code will enable the development of personalized medicine in which treatments can be tailored to an individual patient's genetic makeup. It will also help scientists understand the mechanisms of aging, how humans have survived infections and plagues, and how exactly we differ from other species. We'll make a pass at the review of books, and I'll read you how the books were chosen. Our top five lists were created by weighting and tallying the sequenced and unsequenced end-of-year recommendations of more than 25 sources, and they list a lot of the publications they took that from. So the number one best novel of the year, according to that technique, is called Trust by Hernan Diaz, D-I-A-Z. And the description is as follows. "Everything about this cunning story makes a mockery of its title," said Ron Charles in the Washington Post. "The first 100 pages read like a 1930s novel about the sorry fate of a Wall Street tycoon who was America's wealthiest man. But Hernan Diaz's second novel offers three other perspectives on the same tale, beginning with what appears to be a memoir aimed at correcting the record. While that may make Trust sound overly complicated, in execution it's an elegant, irresistible puzzle. As that puzzle is unfolding, the only certainty is Diaz's brilliance. Readers may notice the novel's allusions to Henry James, Jorge Luis Borges, and other literary titans, said the New York Times. But Diaz isn't throwing a spotlight on the stories behind stories just to play literary games. His investigation seeks out the dark workings behind capitalism, as well as the uncredited figures behind the so-called great men of history. It proves to be an exhilarating pursuit. The number two novel is If I Survive You by Jonathan Escoffery, Escoffery. Number three is Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. Number four is titled The Furrows by Namwali Sirpal. And the number five novel is All This Could Be Different by Sarah Thankin Matthews. On the nonfiction side, the number one pick is titled An Immense World by Ed Yong. Ed Yong certainly gave himself a formidable task with this book, said the New York Times. The author, who won a Pulitzer for his reporting about the COVID pandemic, aimed here to break readers out of their innate sensory bubble to appreciate the innumerable alternative ways that non-human animals perceive the world. Yong is a terrific storyteller, and as he explains how each species builds its own sensory bubble form, say, ultra-keen hearing or sensitivity to heat, the stream of surprising animal facts propels us toward a profound realization that the reality we perceive is a sliver of the multivarious reality we actually inhabit. Think of An Immense World as a call to adventure for the imagination, said Laura Miller in Slate. Not only does it deliver wonder on nearly every page, but it also teaches readers to stop merely measuring particular sensory powers of other creatures against our own. We must, Yong urges, recognize their profoundly different experience of their environment and recognize how precious such experiences are. Every time we lose a species, a whole world is lost with it. The number two nonfiction book is Constructing a Nervous System by Margot Jefferson. Number three is Ducks, 2 Years in the Oil Sands. Number three is The Revolutionary by Stacy Schiff. And number five is Stay True by Hua Su. Here's the summary they gathered from the poll watch. They call it The Way We Were in 2022. We fretted about partisan strife and global conflict, but found solace in junk food and our phones. How are we feeling? Anxious and divided, 74% of Americans believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. 70% say the U.S. has become so polarized it can no longer solve its most pressing issues. 88% fear our divisions could lead to a rise in politically motivated violence. 54% believe we're on the path to a full-blown civil war. 71% say democracy itself is under threat. 76% say concern for the Republic is a significant source of stress in their lives. Still, it's not all gloom. 65% of us still express pride in America, and 69% are satisfied with the overall quality of life. Whom do we blame for America's woes? President Biden, for one. 51% disapprove of the job he's doing, and 55% question his fitness for office. 60% don't like how he's handling the border. 58% disapprove of how he's managing the economy. And 62% say his administration is at least partly responsible for inflation. For that matter, 29% think voter fraud put him in the Oval Office. Not that other elected officials get off easy. 75% disapprove of how Congress does its work. 70% say people in government do not care about them. 40% believe real power lies in a secret group of people who control events. 16% believe the shots are being called by a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles. How has society changed? We're increasingly gender fluid. 5% of Americans under 30 identify as trans or non-binary. Overall, 2% of us do. 10% have a family member who is trans, and 44% know a trans person. We are less work-driven, with 26% of those who lost a job during the pandemic feeling no obligation to return to full-time, and 49% unwilling to consider a job that doesn't offer remote work. We're also growing less religious, with 81% saying they believe in God, the lowest figure since the poll question was first posed in 1944. What do we do to relax? A screen likely figures into it. 55% turn to TV to de-stress. 22% of us watch 4 or more hours daily. 68% play video games. Most of us don't stray too far from our phones. 71% check their phones within 10 minutes of waking. 47% say they're addicted to theirs, and 48% feel anxious when the battery drops below 20%. We still read, though only 27% of us have read more than 10 books in the past year, down from 35% in 2016. We drink to relax, with 67% of us taking the occasional belt, though our feelings about it are mixed, with 75% saying alcohol affects society for the worse. Eating soothes our nerves as well. 49% say scarfing too much junk food is one of their worst habits, but 69% admit they judge their partner for doing likewise. What are we afraid of? Global conflict haunts our nightmares, with 88% fearing a nuclear conflict with Russia, 76% worrying about a global conflict among superpowers within the next 25 years. We fret over biological warfare, pollution of oceans, rivers, and lakes, and corruption of government officials, 62%. We have more mundane fears as well. 30% are afraid of snakes, 24% of spiders, and 11% of dentists. While it may or may not have spooked them, 67% say they've had at least one paranormal experience. 25% say they've lived in a haunted house, and 10% say they've seen a demon. We don't always get the "it must be true, I read it in the tabloid" pieces, but thought it'd be fun to read the best of the tabloids in 2022. Firefighters rescued a woman who fell headfirst into an outdoor toilet at the top of Washington's Mount Walker while attempting to fish her cell phone out of the waste. After dropping the phone while using the public outhouse, the woman used dog leashes to hold herself while reaching down into the muck. "They didn't work very well and she went in," said Brennan Fire Department Chief Tim Manley. The woman called 911, and after rescue workers pulled her out, she declined medical attention. "She only wanted to leave," explained the fire department spokesman. Two men in Carlo, Ireland, were arrested after they carried a dead man into a post office in an effort to collect his pension. One had inquired about collecting a third party's pension and was told the recipient had to be present. He returned with a friend who helped him prop up a pension recipient, Peter Doyle, 66, in a chair. but the staff noticed that Doyle wasn't responsive. The pair then fled, leaving the body behind. The gruesome incident is just mind-boggling, said Carlo Mayer, Ken Murnane. It's like a Hitchcock movie. A British monkey sanctuary hired a Marvin Gaye impersonator to croon love songs to endangered Barbary macaques in hopes it might put them in the mood to mate. We thought it could be a creative way to encourage our females to show a little affection, said Matt Lovatt of Trentham Monkey Forest. Gay impersonator Dave Largie serenaded the primates with Let's Get It On and Sexual Healing. A woman in Tsingtao, China, went to a man's house for a blind date, but found herself stuck there for 4 days when the area went into a sudden COVID lockdown. Because we don't know each other very well, it was not so convenient, said the woman, identified as Ms. Wang. The man was as mute as a wooden mannequin, and his food was mediocre, reported the woman. But he's still willing to cook, which I think is great. And we said farewell to quite a few famous and significant folks this year. We'll run through some of the list. From stage and screen, Sidney Poitier, Bob Saget, comedian, William Hurt, Estelle Harris, Gilbert Gottfried, Ray Liotta, James Caan, Angela Lansbury, Robbie Coltrane, Kirstie Alley. Media and publishing, Andre Leontali, Vogue's first black creative director, PJ O'Rourke, Roger Angel, Mark Shields, Vin Scully, Barbara Ehrenreich, Hilary Mantel, the Booker Prize winning British novelist. Music and the Arts, Ronnie Spector, Meatloaf, Carmen Herrera, Taylor Hawkins, the Foo Fighters drummer, Naomi Judd, Olivia Newton-John, Coolio, Loretta Lynn, Jerry Lee Lewis. Politics, Clyde Bellecourt, the co-founder of the American Indian Movement, Madeleine Albright, Senator Orrin Hatch, Shinzo Abe, the former Japanese Prime Minister, and Mikhail Gorbachev. Of course, Queen Elizabeth II and Independent Counsel Ken Starr. Sports, Bill Russell, the great basketball player, Gary Gaines, Texas high school football coach for Friday Night Lights, Dan Reeves, football coach, played 4 Super Bowls, Louisa Harris, queen of basketball, Guy Loeffler, Canadian hockey legend. And the list goes on as we think of both the famous and not so famous folks that we remember who passed in 2022. We've just time for a few short notes as we wind out the show. Republicans won a majority of the House in November thanks to a total of fewer than 7,000 votes over 5 districts, according to Jacob Rubashkin of the nonpartisan firm Inside Elections. If Democrats had gained 1% more votes in those five districts, they'd have kept control of the House. The U.S. now has about 1.7 million fewer legal immigrants than it would have if pre-pandemic migration trends had continued, according to an estimate by the Global Migration Center at the University of California, Davis. About 10 million U.S. jobs remain unfilled. Excess death rates for Republicans rose to nearly double the level for Democrats in the summer of 2021 after COVID vaccines were widely available, according to a new study by the National Bureau of Economic Research. The study attributes the death gap, which widened even further in the winter of 2021, to the disparity in vaccine uptake. And we'll finish up with two quotes. We'll start with Eleanor Roosevelt, who says, "Some people are going to leave a mark on this world, while others will leave a stain." And from Dwight D. Eisenhower, as we turn into this new year and think about plans, he said, "Plans are useless, but planning is indispensable." And with that, we have run out of time for today's episode of the week. Be sure to listen again next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. This is Fred Woodward reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The week is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. For more information or if you have comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.